Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only. Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Strikeout Bros. I'm Pablo. We got Lash on the other side. What's going on, brother? How you doing?
What's going on, man? Can't believe we're a month to go to the postseason. Looks like both our teams going to make it.
I don't know. You guys are in the postseason as we speak. The Mets aren't. So we have a long road to go. I know it's only like, 30-something games, but those 30-something games are going to mean a lot. Yeah, and they go by fast, too. You know, we're going to talk about all that stuff, you know. But right now, we're going to talk about, the name of the episode. It's Starting Pitchers, Listen Up. And the reason why it's called that is because we're going to be talking about, you know, these rumors out there. You know, people are saying that they're going to force the starting rotation to go 6 innings. And it's very interesting. I'm excited for that. You know, all these new rules that they've implemented into the season, you know, and you know, as we go along, you know, I like all of them. I like all of them. I'm not going to lie to you. It makes the game more interesting. I don't have a problem with it. If it makes the game better, you know, you were talking about that the other day when you said you went to the minor league system, right? And you watched the game and the AI was calling the shots, no?
Yeah, no, definitely. The balls and strike system you're talking about, I think it's fantastic. It takes 5 seconds. The umpire makes the decision. It's up to his discretion. So you no longer have input on the manager because the managers are going to know that the umpire is going to make the automatic decision to review. So it's probably review one pitch per batter. So that's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
No.
So now, they're, you know, thinking about implementing this rule that, I mean, they're going to force it on the minor leaguers first, obviously. You know, it's like a force. They don't have a choice, you know. But they want to see if it works out there like they do everything else, you know. But I'm interested. So, basically, the only way you can get out of the game prior to the 6 innings is you have to throw over 100 pitches, right? You have to allow at least 4 more earned runs, right? And obviously suffering an injury, you know? So tell me, Lash, what do you think about this? You think this is something that we need? Do you think this is going to make the game faster? Like, what are your thoughts on this?
Yes, I like it. It's great. In the early 2000s, in the 90s, in the 2000s, I've been a fan since the late 90s all the way through. You know, you were shocked if the Messina of the world or the Pedro Martinez when he was or the Tom Glavins of the world, you were shocked if they didn't go at least minimum of 6 innings. So the reason why they reduced the amount of pitches because they worry about these guys blowing their arms out. But then realize it's not the innings, it's not the issue. The issue is these guys are throwing way harder than the Pedro Martinez of the world and Tom Glavins and all these guys. Way harder, and that's why they're blowing themselves. It has nothing to do with how many pitches they throw. is that within those 100 pitches, at least 80-70% of them are gas. So you're putting more torque and pressure on the arm. That's why this guy, it has nothing to do with how many innings you pitch. I like the rule because what's going to happen is you're going to save your bullpen. You're not going to have an issue like you have currently in the majors where both the starting pitching and the bullpens are completely derailed in both leagues right now. I can't name one team on either league that says they have a dominant bullpen. Like when their bullpen comes, they're going to, you're not going to have a chance to score. And I can't say that about starting pitchers. No team in the, none of the contenders, I can't say, wow, their starting staff, they're not be messed with. It's going to be hard to score a run. You're not be like, oh, I can't wait to I get to the bullpen. That's no longer the case because both teams, both the starting pitchers are struggling, so are the bullpens. So if it means to save the bullpen, great. Like I said, I like to go 100 pitches or 6 innings. Why not? You guys are paid millions of dollars to pitch. It's ridiculous. The guy that pitched for the Mets, he went what? The guy for the Orioles, he only went like 5 innings. It's ridiculous. Why?
I mean, because, they felt like, analytics, they felt like, that was the time. It was like, all right, people, teams and management, they're always scared of that third time around the bat, the lineup, because that's when, the batters adjust to the pitching and they kind of understand where this guy's going and it makes a difference, because, it's like everything, you keep trying till you succeed, right? First time out, if you've never seen the pitcher before, you have no idea. You can watch video, you can do all that, but it's favored for the pitcher. I feel like the pitcher has the advantage in that situation. Now the second time around, he can completely switch it up on you when you still don't know what's going on. But the third time around, it's like, all right, I've seen you twice. I see what you can throw. I see how fast you can throw. I see how your stuff moves. You have a better shot at hitting it the third time around, So I understand why these pitchers are leaving, prior to that third time around the lineup. But, with this rule makes it, kind of like what I used to love. Like you said, these pitchers used to go, full games. It wasn't a unicorn, It was like, the majority of these pitchers in the 90s went 9 innings if they could. They felt it and they felt good about it. They did. So we're going to go, get back to that now. It's going to be interesting. They're going to have to, switch it up. Like what I was reading was that, now they're going to have to pitch the contact because if you think about it, that's the fastest way out of an inning, And on top of that, they're going to have to be smarter. They can't be throwing that gas like you were saying earlier, which is very interesting that you saw it that way because I kind of saw it that way as well. It's like, if you're throwing too hard, you're not going to survive too long in that game, But, when you have to, master the at-bat and you have to be, savvy with it because you can't just, throw gas like that because you have to manipulate your pitches and manipulate your time up there. You can't, after 100 pitches, you already know. But, this has been an interesting week in baseball. I can say that much. But tell me if you have any more thoughts on, what we just finished talking about. You said a lot of good, a lot of good points out there, and this is why you're the genius.
The only point is, these pitchers getting so much money. Corbin Burns this year, this past offseason, the free agent market, or the money that these pitchers got was awful because Boris didn't play his hand right, so these guys kind of lost out. But someone like a Corbin Burns and stuff, if you're going to be pitching, if you're going to be giving $30 to $40 million a year to pitch, you better expect him to be, if you're the Yankees or the Mets, you better hope, or the Red Sox, those are the teams that are rumored to potentially get him. With that being said, if I'm signing you for $40 million, you damn best believe you better be pitching 6 innings. Do you think the Yankees signed Garrett Cole so he could pitch 5 innings a game? No. When he pitches, they expect him to go at least 7. That's what you paid him for all
that
money.
You would think so, yeah. I mean, you would think so. You know? But now with the way this game is run, they don't consider that a good start. I consider, that's like, he's gonna be really tired, what I'm saying? Because they're so used to not pitching so long, It's like, all right, the boss says that my time is here's done, you know. And if you walk off that mound with the, you know, the score on your side, then you did your job, you know. Because everybody gets paid. I mean, you know, not like him, but...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Everybody gets paid to do their job, you know, and then management says, you know what, that's it, you're done for the night. You can't blame the player for that. You know, you can fight that all you want, but nobody wants to see that on the camera. You know, nobody wants to see, you know, the manager and a pitcher join at each other. You know, like, it's bad for the game. I don't like it, personally. It's like, all right, unless, you know, it's a situation like Blake Snell in those playoffs, you know, when they pulled them and they end up losing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, whatever. You know, I don't know. But, you know, hopefully, you know, it comes sooner than later. And I'm excited about that. I want to see the AI be implemented prior to that. That's what they're working on now. I definitely want to see that in the majors, you know. Don't get rid of the ump, though, you know. Keep the ump there. No, let him have the earpiece and let him call it from his side. So this way we don't have to constantly look at a scoreboard or look at some signage on the, you know. Nah, I don't want to look at none of that stuff. Exactly. I want the ump to call it so I can stay focused on the game and I can keep my eye on the pitcher and the batter. You know, I don't want to be looking up at no scoreboard to see if it was a strike or not. You know, I want the ump to call it, give him a little earpiece. You know, he gets the message from upstairs and then he calls the play on the field. That's how I want it. All right. So please, if anybody's listening, anybody that matters anyway, let's keep it at, you know, somewhat traditional. You know what I'm saying?
So the way it worked in that game, in the Gwinnett game, the Stripers, it wasn't every pitch. It was mostly in situations where if it's like two outs and there's the potential for runs to be scored and, you know, near the end of the game. It was basically in like situations where it was needed to be checked. If it's like two outs and no one on, they're not gonna review the, you know, they weren't gonna review them. They were just gonna go with the umpire said. But there was like a man on second and third with less than two outs and it's the eighth inning. That's what they should do, right? Umpire balls and strikes should be implemented starting from the sixth inning and on, because then that's when the game becomes more contentious and becomes
In a playoff series, anything can happen in the first inning. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to have to with that and say, you know, you don't want to have to say that. You don't want to have to say, damn, all right, the umps are calling it right now. And if he calls a bad one on me, you know what I'm saying, then the game can completely change. You know what I'm saying? We can talk about that all day. Let's talk about what happened yesterday, right? So who was on the mound? Who was pitching? I'm going to tell you right now.
You're talking about for the Orioles?
Yes, yo, with the balk, right? The balk, Peterson, right? Peterson? All right, yeah, so Peterson was pitching, right? I was there, right? So, you know, I had a couple of in me. That was the first game, right? With the Alvarez walk-off, you know. But we
just hit a home run, yeah.
Exactly. So we can talk about that a little later. But let's talk about the actual play. So for some reason, the ump decides to call a balk on Peterson. There's men on third. That, you know, that run comes in. Right. So now I'm like, man, this sucks. Right. Because you would never think that the next pitch after that would be a home run to the next guy. That was crazy to me. And the only reason why I feel that happened is because they got Peterson off his game after that call. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because he lost concentration. He's like, he can't believe it. You know, I'm pretty high up in the stands. Don't get it twisted. I'm in the promenade box in the 400 section. I love that seat because it's like true bird's eye view, but it's not too far up, you know? So, like, you can really, like, overwatch what's going on the field. But, you know, you can tell by his body language that, you know, he wasn't happy with what the hell was happening. And then on top of that, the next pitch is a home run. So you say to yourself, damn, it would have been two runs anyway. Or you say, they knocked him off his, you know, his his game, and it caused this, you know? That wouldn't happen with AI calling the whole game, you know what I'm saying?
Now, would AI, so with replay, would you also include box as a replay? Because the things with the balking that drives me nuts, it was a subtle move. Why is the subtle move considered a balk? In my opinion, that was a subtle move. It should have not been a balk. Now, who knows if the guy would have hit a home run? Who knows? But it was not. Who knows? Like maybe Urias would have got out, and the next guy, who knows? Would have been a pop out, and the guy would have scored on a.
Exactly. Line. We're never gonna know. That's the thing about that. You know what I'm saying? We're never going to know. So that's just what happened.
It looked like a balk, you know. And I was like, what the heck kind of play was that?
Yeah, I didn't like
there
it.
There was another play in today's game that really like should have went the Mets way. It was when the guy, I thought he struck out and he was going to strike out, throw him out, but they said it was a walk and both guys got on base. I was like, it should have been a strike out, throw out. I forgot what it was. It was some horrible play by the umpire, in my opinion. But the Orioles should have had two outs and the inning should have ended. But they were
that's crazy. I mean, the same thing with the Nimmo catch. Did you get to catch that?
He should have caught that one. In time right. In the middle game? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, in the middle game. So now, all right. Play. So I watched the replay multiple times. You know, I was there. Right, but I watched it on my phone multiple times, and I can't really see the ball hitting the back there, the wall. I can't see it happen. I don't see it. I don't see
the. No, I don't think it went to the wall. It just trickled too far.
Yeah, all right. So if that was the case, you would have never had that man on third, because you know I watched the replay. Listen, I'm a Mets fan, so like I'm not gonna. I saw the replay, and I'm like, damn, did that ball hit the wall? Because if that ball hit the wall, then I can understand why they were saying that.
No, it veered to the left. It might have hit the side wall, but it never went to the
all right, so if it hit the wall, then all right, so you deserve that man on third. You know what I'm saying? Because they were saying, you know, pretty much that, you know, if it hits the wall, then, you know, you're using the wall as a like a brace, you know? Like, it's like, oh, it's helping you, you know? But no, if I don't think it hit the wall. I think he, you know, he lost it and then he got it back, you know, and it was awesome. It was, you know, it was fun to watch, but it's okay. You know, we got murdered yesterday and it shows you who they are,
serious.
You know.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, you know, they remind me of the Yankees back in the day when they had all that hitting and they had no pitching. So this is what's happening to you guys. You know, you guys, literally, we're going to talk about that later because that's a big subject too. You know, like there's a lot of stuff that we have to talk about. But that right there, like the fact that you lost another one, I don't even understand what's going on over there. But we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about that. So, yeah, you know, like we said, you know, they want to implement this new rule with the six innings. You know, you can't leave the game unless you have four more earned runs or over 100 pitches and obviously the injury. But I'm excited for that rule. I like all the new rules that are coming this way, and I'm excited. That's all I can say to that, you know. And I'm an old head, you know. Like, listen, I love traditional baseball, but this makes the game just a tad better. That's just my opinion. But we're gonna continue. Like, we have to understand a lot of rules have been, you know, implemented recently, and like the pitch clock. I don't mind the pitch clock. I don't mind it at all. I like it. The shift, you know what? It's a little weird now that we've been, you know, working with the shift for so long and now they took it away. But you know what? It makes baseball better, you know, because a nice hit right up the middle where you can't make it because you were forced to start at a certain position. Man, listen, I like it. The bases being bigger, you know, and the limit on the pickoff throws, I like it. Tell me, Lashi, do you like all of those new rules or what?
Yes, the only rule I don't like is the man on second, the Manfred man on second overtime. It's just stupid. I think you should go to the first three innings. First three extra innings should be no man on second. After that, after the 13th inning, then you should put the man on second.
No, listen, I understand what you're saying. No,
it's
but
just
listen,
an easy win.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but it's not an easy win because you still have to hit, brother. And explain something. Or and you know what I like about the rule? The fact that they don't implement that into the postseason. That is my favorite part about that. You know what I'm saying? So they know what they're doing. You know, it's like, all right, we're going to speed up these regular games because it's going to, you know, deplete the bullpens. It's going to cause problems. And, you know, but during a playoff situation, nah, we don't want to see that. You know, we don't want to see that. But I'm okay with the man on second. during a regular season game. I am, you know, because it's still, it's a different way of playing chess, though, you know, because you have to worry about that one hit scores that run. You know what I'm saying? So now this bullpen has to go all out. You know, this is what they get paid for.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to, you don't want them to get that run. You know, from second, it's right there. One hit gets that run right in. And that's how serious it is. It's very, real serious. But I like the way, you know, I feel like home field advantage works really well in that situation as well. Because you know what you're working with. You know what I'm saying? It's like, same thing in golf. You know, when you're playing from behind because you're losing, you get to see if you're the leader in that pack, you get to see what everybody else does prior to you.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much, that's what it is, you know? Having home field advantage in that situation is great.
Yeah, the home team has the home team has the greater advantage. The away team has more pressure because you already automatically know you got to score a minimum of 2 runs.
Yeah, exactly.
If you score exactly. 1 run, it's over.
It's not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah.
It's not enough.
It's just like so.
It's good though. It's a different way of looking
pressure,
at the game. A lot of pressure.
Pressure on the away team, not the home team.
Yeah, on the away team. Push on the away team. It's true. It's like, you know, we'll look that up. You know, next week, I promise you that we'll have the stats for that, you know. But, you know, right now, there's a lot of stuff to talk about, man. This is going to be a good podcast. It's been a great one already, but it's going to be even better because we have a lot of stuff to talk about, you know. So now, you know, we're done with the new rules. You know, that was the big theme of the episode today. You know, because I think it's interesting, it's new, and it's exciting to me, you know, but we're going to get it done, and it's going to be great. So now, you know, this wild card situation in the National League, it's frustrating for me, obviously. I mean, you know, you're a Baltimore Orioles fan. No matter what happens from this point on, I'm pretty sure you'll make the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? Because you guys are high up there, and then you know if you happen to fall a little bit, you end up winning that wild card and knocking somebody out because you're way better than those teams, you know. So you're gonna be okay, you know. And whatever happens, happens. But I believe that the Baltimore Orioles will definitely be in the postseason this year. Now, the thing in the National League is very frustrating because a month ago, the Mets were sitting on top of that wild card, and it almost looked like we were able to like maybe surpass the Phillies and catch up to them. That's how good it was looking out here for the Mets fans. But now we're looking in, and we've been looking in for over a week now, I must say, at least, you know, because I look this stuff up every morning, you know, almost, and it's crazy, you know. I hurt myself this way, you know. Like you said the other day, when your team is losing, it's not such a beautiful day out there, you know? It's kind of weird, but, you know, we let stuff like that affect us. But, you know, we're junkies, I guess. It's better to be a sports junkie than a crackhead. And a
crack junkie.
You know? Exactly, you know? See, we were thinking
the same exact thing. Baseball, that's the good thing about baseball. It's ebbs and flows. You live by the moment because every game matters. It's not like football where, all right, I got a week to decompress the loss or the win or enjoy the win. You know, and football, baseball, and hockey, it's the next day. That you just same thing with basketball. You lose, all right, we play it tomorrow. You know what I mean? And this just the way it is. And when they win tomorrow, if the Orioles win tomorrow, I'll be as heck. You know, if the Mets lose tomorrow, you'd be pissed as shit. You know what I mean? So it's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I don't know, man. But these two teams, as always, you know, like for the last 20 years, I can remember as a kid. Atlanta Braves were always better than the Mets, and they always knew how to knock us out. And that's how it is. It's just how it works. Like, we play with fear. I don't know what it is about those guys, but they're so injury plagued right now that it's insane. You know, I don't want to, you know, the Braves. Yeah. So like they just lost Austin Riley, you know, for the rest of the regular season with a broken right hand. So, you know, it's getting pretty crazy out here. He was hit with a 97-mile-per-hour fastball from Los Angeles starter Jack Kochanowicz. I don't know. Hopefully, I did that right in the first inning. And, yeah, but he's out of here. And These guys, I think they just recently got back Ozzy Albies. He was out for a while. Kuhn is out. You know, they have a lot of problems over there. But, you know, they started off on a high note, so they're still battling. And we started off on a low note, and we tried to figure it out, you know, along the way. And now we're fighting for this last slot. When Atlanta was holding that first slot for such a long time, but the injuries, you know, the injuries over and over again, you know. They have bad luck, but they're still battling, they're still fighting. And it's pretty crazy because the Mets just finished having a horrible, you know, away
road trip.
Road trip.
Back on the road. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And it's even harder this time around, you know. So we came back home and we were horrible out there. And you know, the story was, all right, we lost three in a row because we got swept by Seattle, right? And now we're coming back home and we have to play the Oakland Athletics, brother. And I'm like, all right, this should be, you know, pretty easy, you know, but they have a lot of young guys over there. They got rid of a lot of their talent. And, you know, Matt Olson went to the Braves, you know, and they moved around a lot of pieces and they're really good now. They're not the same Athletics that they were, you know, half a season ago. You know, now they're a different ball club. You know, you can kind of see what's happening over there. It's that kind of story, you know. So we end up playing these guys and we end up getting, you know, being the losers of a series against the A's. I don't even understand that, you know. That made me sick to my stomach. I was like, especially after that horrible West Coast trip, you know, we needed to come back. And we ended up losing the first one to those guys, and we ended up losing four in a row. And I'm like, well, here we go. Season's over now. But for some reason, you know, we kept fighting, and we kind of, like, figured it out. This stand was weird, too, because, you know, like I said, we lost the first series to the A's. And I don't know. Tell me what you think about that. That just sounds crazy to me.
So, yeah, you guys finished a homestand at 4-4, eight-game homestand. Yeah, losing 2 out of 3 to Oakland is like, what the heck? And then... Dominant against the Mets, and then they lost that last game against the Mets, and then looked dominant again against the Orioles, you know, so...
No, but yeah, this series is crazy. Yeah, I mean... It's weird because then we played Miami and we took 2 out of 3 from them. And then, which was like, I was like, okay, you know, so now, you know, we're what, 3-3, you know? And then we go into the Baltimore series, you know? And this Baltimore series was very, very important because, you know, it was a 9-game homestand. It was a good test for the Mets. And, you know, what's crazy? All right, I understand you guys are, you know, you guys, the same with the Braves. You know, it's funny how both of your teams have really, really had problems with their rotation. But we're going to talk about that rotation in a second and how bad it is for you guys, you know. But let's continue talking about how we played Baltimore. Like, I was scared. I was like, you know what, this is it right here because playing Baltimore, then after that going into San Diego and then going to Arizona, those three series are the pivotal moments in this season for the Mets, all right? If we can't stay afloat after those three series and we can't show these big teams, because obviously we were unable to show Seattle what we're capable of, and that pissed me off, but it's okay. But getting swept by them was really bad, all right? Because we came back like, 4-6. So we won 4, we lost 6 from that horrible West Coast trip. And then today, we ended up this homestand, what was it, 5-4? Something like that, right?
Well, this homestand, you went 4-4.
We didn't go 4-4. It was a 9-game homestand. We played the Athletics for 3, right? Then we played the Marlins for 3, and then we played the Orioles for 3. So we went,
five and four.
Yeah, because we won. One against the Athletics, right? We won 2 against the Marlins, and we won 2 more. Yeah, so 5-4 on this homestand. It's not great, but you know what? At least we show some fight, and we're still in it. We're still in it, you know? That's all I can say. We're still in it, and that makes me feel good. You know, right now, the Atlanta Braves are playing the Phillies, and I don't want to get too happy, but right now it's the bottom of the seventh with no outs, and the game is tied 2-2. Last I left it, prior to our, you know, starting the episode, it was 2-0 Braves. We need, you know, right now the Mets fans are Philly fans. Let's just keep it, you know, let's keep it real. We're Philly fans because we need Atlanta to lose, you know. A game like today, you know, listen, we played the Baltimore Orioles, and it was a, the first game was a tight one, you know. But once, you know, the Orioles, I'm like, it's the tie ball game. This is the Orioles all the way. Because the Mets, for some reason, they hit hard in the beginning of the game, and then they just stop hitting altogether. Or they hit all night, and they score some ridiculous number like 12. But, you know, when we're not hitting, it's not pretty. And when it was tied, I was like, well, we lost this one. But at least we, you know, we kept it close. But then that walk off in the bottom of the ninth, amazing. And the second night, I was like, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. These guys hit the ball, and they know how to score runs. And then today, it was pretty crazy. Alvarez with the bottom. I mean, excuse me. It wasn't Alvarez. It was Winker.
Yeah, Jesse Winker. The Nationals.
The Winker hit a walk-off, and it was pretty crazy. Alvarez on the first night and Winker on the third.
Lindor was up next, and he had already hit a home. I was like, they're going to walk him. So it would have been man on first and second, no outs. Oh, that's crazy. But
no, I saw it. I saw it, too. I was like, this is the part of the lineup where it should happen. And you have to understand that you guys have bases loaded with no outs and were barely able to scratch off a run, and that run tied the game. And that's when I said, game over. Once again. And I was wrong. It was pretty amazing. We got out of that. And we were able to win the game. And you know what? It was a scrappy win. And this is what happens when two good teams get together and they battle it out. I feel like our pitching is a little better than yours right now at the moment.
Yes, definitely.
Right now at the moment. You know, for some reason, like, everybody's doing really well except for Quintana for some reason. Quintana's having problems. But hopefully he figures it out. But I think our pitching is pretty, pretty good. You know, the problem is the hitting. It's not consistent, you know. Well, for a while, the Lindor was, but it's not consistent at all. Nimmo hasn't been hitting for a while now. You know, he's been sitting a couple of games, which is good. I like that. You know, I like that, you know, they know that we know this, you know, so something has to be done. He needs rest. He needs something. He needs to work on his mechanics, whatever it is, but you have to sit the guy out. He's not hitting the ball. Why you still have him there? McNeil hasn't been playing, you know, all the games either, and I like that too, you know. Giving him a break. You know, he changes up his, you know, his ways of batting and getting, you know, getting on base. He's hitting the ball a lot harder now. And, you know, the ball sprays and it goes where it goes. But, you know, he's getting luckier with that than he was with the contact hitting. So I'm going to leave him alone for now. You know, he's hitting home runs. I'm just saying, you know, let's see what happens. But it's pretty crazy.
Vientos, too.
Vientos is great, man. Listen, I was talking about Vientos the other day. And, you know, one of my boys, you know, he's like, well, what do you think about Beatty? I said, Beatty lost his job. Beatty had plenty of opportunity. He had plenty of opportunity. And he failed, you know. And, you know, when he first came up, I'm like, okay, he's not getting the at-bats. He's sitting on the bench, you know, so why keep him up here? Might as well keep him down there where he can hit every day. But they sent him back down after that because, you know, obviously they thought he wasn't producing. You can't produce from the bench, you know. But
so I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Now that Mauricio comes back in the fall, in the wintertime, or next spring, whatever, is Vientos your third base? And who's your second baseman? Mauricio? Because he's also a third baseman.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have to figure something out there, left field. Because, you know, McNeil is a true left fielder, so he plays right as well, so they're going to have to figure something out. You know, we're not keeping Marte. Marte's, you know, going for a walk after the season, so maybe we can put McNeil in right and you put Mauricio on second. So then you have whoever's going to be on first, because I'm not going to mention that guy's name right now. And because, you know, I have a lot of negative things to say about that guy this week. So let me explain something to you. So if you have whoever's going to play first, and then you have Mauricio on second, Lindor at short, Vienzo, excuse me, we're not talking about that guy right now. This is the guy that struck out looking after having a 3-0 count, okay? I don't want to talk about that guy.
That was crazy. I was like, what are you doing? You should just take a walk.
I don't know what that guy's doing, but we don't want to talk about that guy. We don't want to talk about that guy. That guy needs to go. We don't need to spend that kind of money on a first baseman. I'm pretty sure that first baseman is in the basement. And all we have to do is dust them off and bring them right upstairs. You know what? Because I see that we have options down there, but we're not using them. But next year, hopefully, things change. You know, like I said, Mauricio on second, Lindor at shortstop, Vientos on third, and my man Alvarez behind the plate. That shit is beautiful. Oh, excuse my language. That is a beautiful infield. And I don't even know who's going to play first, and I still think that's a beautiful infield. You know?
Well, the nice thing about first base is that you can get whoever's free agent. I think Mountcastle on the Orioles, he might be a free agent. You get someone like him for fairly cheap, and he's pretty productive. So someone like that, you know, a placeholder until you have someone in the main, either, or since you got the money, if there's a true first baseman besides Alonso that you really want, then you can go after him. So
that is true. This is going to be a very interesting, you know, offseason. There's a lot of stuff going on out there. Obviously, everybody's going to be waiting for the Soto thing to happen, and I'm pretty sure that's going to happen at the last moment. So, you know, I wouldn't buckle up for that one. It's a short ride. It's going to, you know, it's going to happen at the end with like 2 days left. It's not going to be, you know, it's going to be like that. You know, he's going to have you looking in the, you know, on your ESPN applications every single day, and it's not going to happen till like the last moment. So, don't worry about that for now.
I don't know. Look, all these players that wait till last minute, they didn't get their money, so I don't know if
he's but he's gonna get his money. It's just a matter of who's gonna give it to him and whether or not he's willing to play for them. You know?
I see.
You know, that's what I see. You know, listen, the Mets go offer him $6 billion, right? And I'm just throwing out a stupid number, you know, just to say. And the Dodgers could offer him $4 billion. And he'll go with the Dodgers because he knows that he's going to fill his fingers up, you know, with a lot of rings, bro.
Well, that doesn't always mean you're going to win a chip.
No, it doesn't mean that, but think about it. Where do you have the best shot of winning a championship, especially after Ohtani having the year he's having now? And on top of that, he's going back to pitching next year, so that even makes the rotation even better. Right? They had a couple of injuries as well, right? So that means they're going to be even better than that, right? And then you have Freeman, and you have all these animals on the field. You know, Mookie Betts.
Will Smith.
You know, Will Smith. Back. All right, listen.
Max Muncy.
All right, and imagine adding a Soto to that. All right. You got a serious problem. Now, I don't want to sound like Stephen A. Smith right now. I sound like I'm angry and I'm stating facts, but think about that. You're going to play for the Mets or you're going to play for the Dodgers? Talking about a $2 billion difference that doesn't make a difference in this guy's, you know, bank account. You know?
Yeah. So,
Tell me.
Baltimore comes out of nowhere because now they got rich owners. They're like, hey, let's go. But I don't think they
You know what? Imagine if they did. Not only would that be a sucker punch to the Yankees, all right? That would make you even more of a problem, all right? So this guy's 25 years old, all right? You have to understand that he has at least a good 6 left in him. And if he's going to hit anywhere like he's hitting now, anybody that has $2 in their pocket are going to try to get that guy. All right? Yeah. He's going to break a record. I think that, especially now with this deferred BS, teams that don't even have money are going to try to get Juan Soto. You understand what I'm saying?
So you're telling me, right, let's just create a dumb scenario. You're telling me if the Chicago White Sox come in and say, all right, we'll give you $10 billion, what is it? let's say they can say we'll give you $800 million contract. You think he's gonna shine with Chicago? Heck no, he's not gonna play.
For a billion?
No, for $800,000.
All right, that's $800. Okay, so this guy's gonna get more than that. All right, I just think that he's
That's why I said 800.
He's gonna get $1 billion. Let's just say, because if this guy got half, this guy's gonna get more. He's a difference maker. No matter where he goes, he's a serious difference maker. He changes everything. All right, he's the guy that you don't want to pitch to. So if you have the right players and you play them properly, you're gonna be scoring a lot of runs. Okay, and when they make mistakes, he takes advantage. All right, yes, he makes a big difference, and I think that teams that don't even have the money right now are going to try to sneak into that, situation, and they're going to try to offer him some type of ridiculous money that's going to make him say, damn, let me think about that. Or is he about, let me see how many rings I can, get, Like, what is he thinking right now at the age of 25? Is he arrogant or is he smart? He's already going to the Hall of Fame. Okay, so let's not even talk about that. All right, if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame, nobody should. All right, and he's doing that already at the age of, and the story starts with at the age of 19, he won his first championship, and then the story goes from there. All right, and I'm sorry, but this guy's gonna command serious money and he's gonna get it, and nobody's gonna be shy about how much they want him by showing them their checkbooks. But if you have any more thoughts on that, I know you do, and I don't want you to say you are. I already heard you when you said, "Oh, you picture him in your lineup, in the Baltimore Orioles lineup." Well, I can picture him in mine as well.
All yeah, right? I think New York is the team. It's gonna be the three teams that can come down to the two New York teams or the Dodgers. That's the only place I see him playing. He didn't like it in San Diego, so you know he's not gonna go back there. He loved Washington, but Washington's rebuilding. He's not going to go back there. Baltimore is a very young team. He's probably not going to go there. It's going to take a while before they get really, really good. Who knows? Their window could be closing. Who knows? They don't have the pitching. But so with that being said, the Yankees, the Dodgers, I can't. Yeah, those are it. And the Mets, those are the only two teams.
I can't even see them. I like him in Philadelphia.
Philadelphia's a
good okay. Yeah, Philadelphia. You know what? They wouldn't do that because it's going to take them too long to figure it out. Because if they don't win it this year, then they don't have it. They're getting really old, and I think that they're going to have to figure out what's going on over there. And their window is closing really fast, They've had a lot of injuries, but they were lucky because a lot of those injuries didn't come at the same time, and they weren't out as bad as Atlanta and you with the pitching,
Yeah.
But they were out, a lot of them. It's an older, roster, and they're having those problems. But, once you get them into the postseason, you know how that rejuvenates everybody. It's like, let's go. Now we're in a different time zone, It's that kind of feel, It's like, okay, we want to kill, So that's what's going to happen.
Who sort of reminds me of without the baggage? He reminds you of when the Mets were going when they decided to re-sign Yoán Cespedes. He's got the power, he's got the fame. He just Soto just doesn't have the baggage. That's what it reminds me of.
You're right. That threat, but Soto is even more of a threat. He's a scary at bat. He even knows that he's like a villain when he comes up at bat. It's like, it's me versus you, and guess what? I'm better than you. And that's what he's telling the pitcher. And it's always crazy because in baseball, I've always known this as a child, that the pitcher always has the advantage. You can throw anything that you think this guy is going to whiff at. I don't even understand how batters get a hit most of the time. And I'm like, this guy is supposed to be able to eviscerate this batter. You know how easy it is to deceive somebody when you're throwing something? It doesn't even have to be hard, but if you're throwing it with mastery and you're locating the pitch and you're switching speeds, how is this guy even hitting against you? It's crazy to me. The pitcher in this sport has always had the advantage.
Yeah, no, I agree.
You know, but it still happens, though, you know? And it's almost weird. It's alien-like. It's like, how is this guy hitting anything that this guy's throwing? When I could deceive you, I can play with your mind. I can throw you a 90-mile-per-hour slider, and you don't swing because you don't really know where it's going. And then I throw you a 60-mile-per-hour curveball, and then I really have you like, what is going on? Am I going to commit to this next pitch? Because, you know, you have nothing but, you know, seconds to commit to a pitch before, you know, it completely unfolds, you know? So, like, it's a crazy sport, bro. I think that it's one of the greatest sports of all time. It's very challenging. People don't see it that way, but it's very hard to hit a pitch, you know, coming from a guy and you don't even know what he's thinking. You don't even know what he's going to throw to you. But you know what? It's super interesting, you know? I feel like anybody can grab a ball and throw it through a hoop. Even if you're trash at basketball, you can still accomplish that, you know,
yes,
in a day.
True.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you can say, block this guy when you see the guy behind you running with the blow so this guy doesn't get to that guy, because that's the objective. Anybody I can block anybody if I wanted to. You know, if you put your mind to it. I mean, sometimes, you know, the guy's bigger than you. But if we're talking about two guys that weigh 230 pounds, and you're telling me to block him and stop him from getting the guy behind me with the ball, then you know what? I'm going to be able to pull that off. But not all those guys aren't going to be able to do the other thing, which is hit a 100-mile-per-hour fastball and commit to it prior to, you know, that ball getting halfway through. And that's seconds we're talking about. All right? And then that ball rolls down that grass that's beautifully cut, and it's running at an even higher rate. Because if it was going 100, the guy hit it, and now it's going 113 miles an hour. And you have to stop that ball and throw with the first.
Yeah.
You know what? It's, I don't know. It's pretty difficult, bro. Not easy. Not an easy sport. I love that sport. That's why we're doing this. But,
yeah.
You know, it's pretty crazy. Let's move on. All right. We're going to talk about this Danny Jansen guy, which is hilarious because I don't even know who this guy is. I just, you know, read about him. And the funny thing about this guy is that the Red Sox and the Blue Jays, they ended up postponing a game that started on June 26th. It's early innings, you know, but the weather was coming down pretty bad, and Danny Jansen happened to be hitting for the Blue Jays at the time.
Oh, at the time of suspension?
No, he was hitting at the time. No. This is not the same guy from last week, bro. I know it sounds similar, but this is Danny Jansen we're talking about now. This is a different guy. So this guy used to play for the Blue Jays, right? And now he plays for the Red Sox, all right? But this game was postponed on June 26th, right? Due to, like, some bad rain coming down. So at the time, he was at bat, right? But then he got traded because the game is getting played this Monday. So he got traded to the Red Sox.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So now, guess what? The guy at bat when the game was discontinued, right? When it was, was the guy at bat for the Blue Jays. Now he's a Red Sox, so they're going to have to substitute him, obviously. So he's going to be the first person ever to have his name in the box score on both sides. Exactly. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
That's pretty crazy, right?
Baseball is one of sports you cannot make. Baseball is so weird. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You wouldn't have that. You wouldn't have that. Think about it. You wouldn't have that in a basketball game. Unless, unless the guy got traded to the team they're playing the next night, maybe. But even then, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. That's what happened. You know what's crazy? It happened to the Mets the other day, too. What's his name? Blackburn or whatever? Blackburn, I believe.
Well, Athletics, that's right.
Yes, he was playing the Angels, right? Right, the week before. He was the starting pitcher
as
for them.
Oakland pitcher.
as an Oakland pitcher, right? And then a week later, right, he gets traded and it's his turn to pitch again. And guess what? He's in the same exact park against the Angels once again in a Mets uniform, which is pretty crazy too.
Yeah.
But it's not as crazy as this guy having his name on both sides of the fuck. Excuse my language, of the box score. It's pretty crazy. Cool. It is cool, right? So yeah, I thought that was cool too. I thought that we needed to bring that up on the pod real quick, you know?
Yes, I was wondering because I saw, I was like, why is this game suspended? I looked to see, like, is it raining? Then it said it did rain. But I didn't know about the whole thing with the guys switching teams. But I was wondering what was going on.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. But like, you know, we spoke about the Mets and, you know, how we came out of there five out of nine in a homestand. Isn't great, but the fact that we were able to beat the Orioles.
You were competitive in every game. That's all that matters. Even if you lose, even the game they lost.
Nah, we came back. We came back, but, you know, I was there, bro, and it was ugly. Let me explain something to you. I already knew we were going to lose that game. I was dying to get out of there. It was a cold night. It's starting to get cold at City Field already.
Yeah, so, I heard it's like 58 degrees this morning.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
That's crazy.
So it's starting to get really cold at City Field already, and it's August, and we can start to smell that postseason, you know, weather coming around, and hopefully we're in it. And, man, I would love it. I think this team is pretty scrappy. I think the pitching is really good. And like I said, if we make the postseason, I've said it before, we're going to be dangerous. We're going to be dangerous. I think something's going to spark, and we're gonna hit the ball. We all know that we're capable of doing that because we've done it multiple times over the season, and we've done it against good teams. Look what we did to the Yankees. Look what we did to a lot of good teams, you know? And I just want to say that if we make the postseason, we're going to be pretty dangerous. It's going to be a long road, you know, because we're going to have to fight a lot of teams going into it. We're going to be that last slot in the wild card. So that's a lot of baseball. But I think we're scrappy enough to, you know, play from the back end and work our way all the way up to the front. And whoever's up there, we're going to give them a nice little fight. I don't think we're able to win it, but I think you guys are. Baltimore, even though you don't have any pitching, I think you still can pull it off. You'll figure it out.
Yeah, well, see, the Mets, you know what the Mets are? The Mets are one of those teams where they would benefit more from being a wild card team than the division winner because they're riding such a good momentum.
Yes.
So if you give them a long week off, it might mess up the mojo and the momentum. So a team like the Mets would do thrive in a wild card role than a division role, you know what I mean?
I agree. Oh, my God. So I just want to, give these Mets fans out here a little bit of,
Yes, I was watching the game.
Yeah, it's 3-2 now, Phillies, right? Yeah. No, end of the eighth. So three outs, and the Mets will move up one more slot.
Half a game, yeah.
A whole game.
A whole game, okay.
A whole game. Yeah, bro, a whole game. It's not, don't take anything away from us.
And then we play the Mets, right? One more time here in Atlanta.
Yes. There was a game that was postponed when we first went out I believe. So it was supposed to be a 2-game series. Now it's a 3-game series. And it's going to be super interesting because, we need these games, and it's going to come down to that. And not only that, we have to play the Phillies 7 times, 2 series, 1-4 and 1-3. And we have to play those guys. And, like
one
I said,
Philly and one in New York.
I believe so. I think the four game is at over there. Let me double check that. But it's gonna be interesting. That's like I said, we're gonna decide our own fate. If we play well against these big teams, then we deserve to be there. If we don't do that, then we don't deserve to be there. That's basically how it works. We don't deserve.
But even if you don't get there, you have to feel real good because now next year, because this is 25 was a year they said they're going all in. So if that's the case, and you get Soto, oh my gosh, you're going to be riding a great momentum going into the 25 season. So
of course, I agree, but season ain't over for us yet, and I like that, you know, because I can't remember the last time I enjoyed a season like this, you know. I'm still going to games, you know. I have tickets, so I got 45 tickets for 11 games, right? And
postseason, I have
for the rest of the season, yeah. Oh, right, nice. Now, in hand, I have 45 tickets. I have 4 tickets to each of these 11 games. For one of them, I have 5 tickets, and they're in a really good section. So I'm going to, you know, capitalize on that for sure. You know, I get off at the perfect time to jump on the train and get there and be able to watch the game. My dad is coming back into town in a couple of weeks, so I'm going to make sure he's at those games. And I'm going to, you know, have a couple of friends join us, you know. But I have the Philly series. So I have the Philly series is going to be the next one coming up is going to be at home. And then the next one after that, I believe, is away. But obviously, that's how it works. But yeah, because I have tickets to that. I have 2 tickets. I have 8 tickets to the first 2 games of that series. And I believe, nice, I'm working one of them. So I'm going to be there for that whole series. I'm going to make sure of that. And then I have Cincinnati. Yeah. I have the Cincinnati series coming up. I have a National series coming up, and I have a Red Sox series coming up as well. So I have I have a lot of tickets, and I'm about to, you know, enjoy that. Because if we're going to play it out, let's play it out. Let's see what happens, you know. I'm still excited about this team. I think we have a slight shot, and you know what? I'm going to run with that little shot. It's going to be fun. But, you know, you guys, I don't know what to say about you guys. You guys, you know, you had, you know, that rough series against the Mets. I'm happy. Listen, you guys are going to be in the postseason no matter what. You know, we're fighting for something, and we needed to, you know, we didn't show you who's boss. We scraped out of that, you know, but we survived it. You know, we threw the last punch, and I like that about this scrappy team. But you guys just lost Zach Eflin for 15 days due to shoulder inflammation, right? Mm-hmm. You guys have been going through so much. And the funny thing about Eflin is you just acquired him from the Rays in the July trade deadline. You know,
he's
like,
been 4-0.
And he's been exactly. I was just about to tell you that, with an amazing ERA in 4 starts. 4-0, 2.13 in 4 starts, all right? And, you know, prior to that, he had 19 starts with Tampa Bay before heading to Baltimore. So this guy's a workhorse, you know. Look, he goes down as well. Like, you start to wonder what's going on over there, right? So he's joining Bradish, Means, Wells. They're all out for the season due to elbow
surgery.
Grayson Rodriguez. Like, this is pretty crazy. And you guys have such an amazing team that you're able to win games without the pitching, because you guys – you know, I look at the lineup and I'm like, damn, we have to worry about these 3 here in a row. And then, you know, there's a couple of regular guys in the middle. And then you have to start worrying again towards the end of the lineup. And then it wraps back around. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a seriously dangerous lineup. Like, you know, I was there. I was watching it. And you guys are scary, you know. You guys are scary. I like your team. But you know what? I'm a Mets fan first. So, listen, right now, Yankee fans were Mets fans, you know, for the last 3 days. That's over now. Now we're Philly fans because we want Atlanta to lose. Like, this is how it's going down. It's going down to the nitty gritty. But, you know, like I said, Baltimore's already in it. The Mets are fighting, so we're scoreboard watching. It is what it is. You know, listen, I'm happy. We're going places. But you guys have, you know, like I said, a lot of injuries, and I can't even imagine what it feels like. You know how good you guys would be if you had all that pitching?
Yeah, the pitching, well, now they have to plug in holes with, you know, Irvin just came with the guy that pitched today for Baltimore. He did all right, you know, minus the Lindor home run. He actually pitched decent. He pitched the right pitch. It's just Lindor got a good hold of it. It's just, you know, but other than that, he did
all right. You know what's funny? Eflin was supposed to pitch today.
Yeah. So if he had pitched, who knows? Maybe Baltimore Who knows, man? But the problem is they didn't score runs when they need to. So if you can't score
that
runs,
bases loaded to, situation. Yeah, that's, yeah, I thought that was crazy to me. That was crazy. I was like, game over.
You know, you want to hear an interesting stat? When the Baltimore Orioles score less than three runs or less, they're 8-36. So that just tells you.
Yeah,
the Torres are scoring runs, but when they don't score runs, you have a good chance of beating them. That's what happened. But in both games that they lost both games 4-3, bottom of the ninth, both walk-offs. It's just that you can't write that. That's why baseball is crazy, you know.
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
But hey, it's what it is. Like I say, was I mad? Yeah, at the moment, but it's what it is. I was more mad at the offense than the pitching because you know, just like your team, you know what your flaws are in your team. And you know what the strengths are in your teams. So when the strengths don't show up when it should, that's when you get mad. At least that's the way I am, you know?
Yeah, I understand that.
Like, for example, but, like with Diaz, like, you know Diaz should be lights out. So when he doesn't perform well, you're pissed off. Because you know that's one of your lockdown, like, you know when he's going to come in, it's a good chance to get
him.
Yeah,
you need that. Yeah, you need to be sure of what's coming in, you know? It's like, but our bullpen has been shaky. But, you know, now Budo there, you know, I love Budo. I love Budo from the beginning. I was like, this kid has something, you know? And now he's coming in from the
bit.
Yeah, he did. He struggled a little bit. But, you know, now from the bullpen, it's like he's, you know, he's a true starter. So he's coming in with this, like, this energy. He's like, man, I could throw 100 pitches right now. But you know what? He knows how to locate and he knows how to pitch. And I like that about that kid. You know, we need him in the bullpen. It's crazy. It's kind of like when the Mets moved Lugo to the bullpen and then they forgot about him. But I think that Budo will become a starter next year, and he will be fighting during spring training for that position. I think he wants to be part of that five-man rotation. Now with Peterson, you know, Peterson has solidified himself as a true starter. It took him a while to figure it out, but I'm really proud of Peterson right now. And obviously, we'd be pretty stupid not to try to re-sign Severino. I think that...
he's been a great performance. I've been really impressed by him because...
Definitely.
You know, I listened to the Yankees bar, you know, ESPN and the radio's talk show, and one of the hosts is the Yankee announcer, and he even said, like, the Yankees let him go because they felt like he had nothing left in the tank. And the Mets were like, all right, we'll scoop him up. It was a one-year deal? Let's see what happens.
One-year deal. Yeah, one year
and
deal.
You know, they took their bid. And it's great, you know, because now he might get a contract out of the Mets. All right, we'll give you a 3-year deal next. You know,
yeah, exactly. That's what I'm looking at. Maybe, you know, I don't know. Let's see how management works that. But I'm definitely interested in that. We'll be talking about that during the offseason. And I'm excited about that, too, because I think he deserves his money. I think he deserves to be there for another year. I think he did great. And he was a pivotal piece to this puzzle, and I feel like if you make the postseason, he should definitely be starting game one. And that's life-changing. Somebody that, you know, wasn't wanted by what everybody thinks is the best. You know, it's like getting fired from the job when, you know, you're like, I really didn't do anything wrong, but you guys think I'm not good enough anymore. And, you know, everybody wants to play for the Yankees. I mean, listen, I don't like the Yankees, but I understand why everybody wants to play for them. Everybody's willing to cut their mustaches off and trim them a certain way and cut their hair to play for this team. You know, it's a opportunity of a lifetime for all these players. It's pretty crazy. You know, that's just how they see it. You know, I don't see it that way, but I understand it, though. You know, I understand it. I'm not saying I'm an idiot. I understand it, you know. But,
yeah, I'm sure if I was a ball player, I'd play for the Yankees, you know. That'd be cool, you know. From Jersey, well, you're from New York. How cool would that be? Play for the Mets or the Yankees?
Yeah, exactly. I prefer to play for the Mets. I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying. But, you know, we were just speaking about Severino, and we gave our award this week to Severino, you know, Gunslinger of the Week.
Yes, he definitely earned it, man. He had a shutout, almost a perfect game against Miami on Saturday.
Yep, it was pretty crazy. And... you know, he went 9 innings, 4 hits, no earned runs, and 8 Ks. You can't beat that. You know, this guy had 2 horrible starts prior to that, and then he comes back and he does this, you know, to let people know, I'm still here, I'm still here. And I'm not saying that, you know, it was against the greatest team, you know, but I'm saying it. It's still hard to do. They're professional players, and nobody wants to go down like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, listen, I hope that we snatch him up for a couple of more years. I think he's doing well. I'm not saying that he's going to have the same type of year he had this year, but you know what? If there's a chance of that happening, then please, by all means, let's get him back in this uniform. And hopefully that's what happens, you know? So, like, with Peterson, Severino, Budo, and then, you know, I'm not sure what the Manea the contract was. I'm pretty sure it was more than a year, so I'm pretty sure he'll be there, and then hopefully some guy comes back proper, and then, you know, we can look at the free agent market and see what happens, what, you know, what's out there for us. You know, like, we can figure this out. We can totally figure this out. But anyway.
I'm watching just a quick update on that game. Bottom of the ninth, one out, man on first and second for Atlanta, down by 1-3-2 Phillies.
Wow.
So I'm watching the game. The new acquisition. So just an update, transaction update. So because Riley got hurt, the Braves went and got Gio Urshela, who used to be on the Yankees third baseman.
Yes.
He's a great defender, but he doesn't have the power that Riley does. But I guess
interesting.
You can't have both, so they'll take it. Because it looks like Riley's out for the whole year.
Wow, that's crazy. Wow, that's interesting.
And Harris is up at bat with one out, man on first and second. And he just came back from the IL.
Oh, man. And then we have our hit of the week. Davon Blanco, right? Versus Cincinnati on the same
Darian
day.
Darian Blanco of the he had a really good game.
Right? And he went 3-for-5, 2 home runs, and had 7 RBIs, which is pretty insane.
That's what grabbed my attention. 7 RBIs, that's pretty impressive. I know Mountcastle, the Orioles, did that last year. He had like 6 RBIs in one game. That's what, you know, so. But yeah, he had
pretty
a great
crazy.
Game.
That is pretty crazy. But anyway, now we're gonna get to the interesting part of the show. You know, you make sure we keep tabs on that Philly game. But now we're coming to the part of the show.
No worries.
You keep it going, all right? Make sure that I know when the Mets move ahead tonight, okay? Because now I'm gonna hit you with some trivia, and you know, the trivia for me now is getting like I'm. At first, I was looking up questions on, you know, then
is
now I'm asking. No. Now I'm asking myself questions, right? And then it goes from there. And then I figure out what I'm going to ask you from there. So now before, like I said, before I was looking up questions to try to trump you. And I'm like, all right. But now it's not even about looking up questions. Now it's about what do I want to know? What could I ask Lasha? Let me see if Lasha knows this. It's a different flow now. So, like, I'm really liking this segment of the show now. You know, it's like it's a little different. So, the longest hitting streak in baseball, brother, right? So, Joe DiMaggio, he holds that record, right? He has 56 games. All right? And that's pretty crazy because, you know, I can't even think of a player right now that could probably go 56 in a row. You know, that's a lot. All right, but Joe DiMaggio, yes, he was a Yankee and all that hot stuff. And, yeah, he holds the record for that, right? So my question was, when I was trying to look up a question for you, I was like, damn, I wonder who has the longest hitting streak in this season. You know what I'm saying? So, like, Brian Reynolds had the longest winning streak, right, in 2024 at 25 consecutive games of a hit, all right? So that's the... That's
the Diamondbacks, right, Brian? No, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Yeah, so this exactly. This guy he held the record this year, 25 games. He has it right now, right? That's this year. That's a lot of games. He did his thing now. So the question is, who do you think has the longest streak right now at the moment?
On base streak or
like a hit streak. Right now at the moment.
Hit streak.
Yeah, current history right now at the moment. Because, you know, we've been watching this season. We've been, you know, keeping tabs on a lot of good players. And I want to see if you have even an idea. There's 5 of them, all right? So let me see if you can nail one. And then after you nail that player, I want you to tell me how many games you think he went in a row. So you have 5 this season.
Longest streak. Let me figure out.
right now, as we speak, these guys have a streak running. Right now, as we speak. Because, like I said, Brian Reynolds, this year, well, he went 25 games in a row. But right now, at the moment, there are five guys that are still playing with that streak.
All right, my one guess would be L.A. De La Cruz on the Reds.
You're wrong. Strike one.
Oh, game's over. Phillies win 3-2.
Congratulations, Mets fans. We're one step closer to the postseason.
This is going to be fun, man. I don't care what anybody says. The last month is always the most exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be exciting. Now, let's get back to this trivia. Stop playing with me.
So strike one
on that Ellie De La Cruz business.
Oh, man. All right. Let me see. Juan Soto.
Strike two.
It's probably someone that's not a big name and he doesn't hit for power. He just knows.
That's not true. There's a couple of them in here that you would know.
That would know?
Yeah, man. I'm thinking, you know a lot. But, you know, there's a couple of names here that I'm like, I don't know. Actually, there's a couple of guys here that you know. At least, I know for sure that you know three of them. You definitely know three of them.
Oh, and the other two,
negative. A strike three. You're out. So, Connor Wong, which I know you don't know because I don't know him.
Oh, the Indians, yes.
No, he plays for the Red Sox.
Oh, Wong, okay.
Yeah, so 15 games in a row. That's what he's fighting with right now. All right, Profar from the Padres.
Padres has he's having great
13 games right now at the moment. Jonathan India, the Cincinnati Red. It's funny because I heard rumors that he wanted to play for the Mets, but we didn't jump on that. So he has a 12 game hitting streak right now at the moment. All right,
wow.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, right? And this guy, your doppelganger, Bryce Harper.
Oh, good old Bryce.
Has 12 games going. 12 games.
I guess he got on base today, so that's 13.
That's probably 13 now. I'm going to look it up right now. And Yanier Diaz, Houston Astros, you know him too. He has a 10-game hitting streak right now as we speak.
Wow.
That's pretty crazy, right? Yeah, it's pretty good. I stumped you too.
But you know what's going to happen. Oh, we need a rest day, and then that's how the streak lose. It's stupid. Analytics said we should rest him, even the guy's playing hot. So what if streaks are good for anymore? It's just annoying. That's another thing I hate. If the guy's hot, keep him in there until his leg falls off. Then when he cools down, then you take him out. Why do you gotta take him out with his numbers?
That's definitely old school baseball, brother. And let me see. Bryce Harper, guess what? Streak broken. He went 0-4 today against this. Your streak has been broken, guys.
That's an update. Hit streak or on base? Because there's a difference.
Hit streak. Okay. Yeah, it's a hit streak. He's done for. He has to start fresh tomorrow. Well, he has to start fresh tomorrow. I would say he started fresh today. He definitely did because he went 0-4. But it's okay. He's still an amazing piece.
Name the other guys on the Profar.
I did.
Harper,
India, and Diaz. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. See, the only guy I should have gotten was Harper because he's obvious. You know, he's a big name.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Because you should have at least mentioned him. You know, but it's okay. You know, that's what this trivia is for. Now you learned something. Now I can't get you again with the same question. So, and you learned something at the same time. That was a pretty good question. I thought it was. You know, I thought it was.
No, it was good. I liked it.
All right. So, you know, we're coming to the end of the show. We ended up on a great note. Philly just beat the Atlanta Braves. The Mets took the series from the Baltimore Orioles.
Good series.
Great series. Kept it close, except for the second game where Baltimore was like, let me show you why we are who we are. But you know what? We still fought hard, and we won that series. And we needed that season, you know, that series to keep the season going. And I'm going to go for the ride. That's all I can say. We're coming to the end of the show. I hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you on the next one. I have fun with this one, Lodge.
Yeah, it was great, man. Good job.